Translation. Meanwhile, all the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura, and when they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with wonder. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj's wonder may be understood in various ways. First of all, the cowherd men had never seen such a gigantic body in Vrindavan, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Then they began to consider where such a body had come from, whether it had been dropped from the sky, or whether by some mistake, or by the power of some mystic yogini, they had come to some place other than Vrindavan. They could not actually guess what had happened, and therefore they were struck with wonder. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shanyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the pastime of Putana is being discussed in these texts, and we've come to the stage where Nanda Maharaj and all the gopas, they'd gone to see Vasudev in Mathura. So they weren't there when the whole pastime of Putana took place. So they've just arrived back, and they're astonished, struck with wonder, that how is it that this huge body of Putana is lying there. And Prabhupada, he describes that the body of Putana, when she died, it was 12 miles long. So it's from here to Wembley. It's 12 miles. That's how big the body of Putana was. So when it crashed, imagine when it crashed, when a 12-mile body crashes, it smashes everything in its way. So it's lying there, and they're just in great wonder, how can this have happened? What is this? So there's a variety of things which are there, and many devotees would have spoken on many things. But the pastime itself is very wonderful. In Prabhupada, he speaks of this pastime, and he gives the Bhagavatam gives a great benediction for those that have been listening or do read the Krishna book, and especially this part here. And the Bhagavatam has the benediction that any person who hears with faith and devotion about Krishna killing Putana certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the original personality. So that's a benediction just given by hearing this pastime of Putana. And that's at the end. The Phal Shruti is always at the end. So some people begin at the end and see if this is the right one to be reading. So here we attain the attachment to Krishna. So these pastimes are interesting. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in two of his books, he speaks about them. Because one is straightforward, that, you know, this is the pastime, this is what happened. But there's another metaphorical aspect, which is a lesson for sadhakas, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur always speaks on. So two books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One is the Krishna Samhita and one is the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. They comment on all the demons and what they represent. So all of these different demons represent something. So that's the metaphorical aspect as well. And I'm sure many devotees, in speaking of this pastime, would have spoken about what they represent and what they do. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary, he says something very interesting. He says that Kamsa, he represents the aggressive materialistic mentality. The aggressive materialistic mentality to expand everything that we have materially. So that's Kamsa. And then he says, Kamsena Parahita. Kamsa, he employs others to do the dirty work of achieving his materialistic ends. So that's interesting that, you know, it's the aggressive materialistic mentality, but he gets all others to do the work for him, to get to there. And who has he employed in this chapter is the question. Balagatini, which means a woman who's very expert in killing children. This is Putana. So this whole pastime is about that. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And many devotees may have spoken. So I thought, you know, Kamsa, he was trying to, like all demons, he was trying to become immortal. And he wanted to kill God, as he does in this, or trying to attempt to do in this pastime. And often science has the same idea as Kamsa. That how to become immortal, and you can do that if we can get rid of God from the picture. There was a very big professor at MIT. His name was Gerald Sussman. And he was giving a lecture, and he told his audience, he said, "My dear ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to announce that we are the last generation to die." He said, because science is advancing so much that from the next generation, nobody will die. And everyone applauded. Everyone applauded. And this is at MIT. You know, he's giving this class. So Prabhupada, in his Leela, he also faced many scientists. He also faced many demons or demoniac individuals who tried to harm him or tried to harm the society, if we read the Leelamrita. So that's another thought for all of us today, that Putana or the demoniac element is coming to harm Krishna. So similarly, the demoniac elements also try to harm Prabhupada or his society if we look at the history back. And the most famous of all of these is, anyone remember? There's many, I'm sure, they're all famous. No, I'm talking about Prabhupada here. Bombay, yes. Bombay, I think, is Prabhupada always, he said that was his greatest fight. Yes, Mr. N is mentioned because of legalities. We said Mr. N in the Leelamrita. And there were many other accomplices of Mr. Nair or Mr. N as well there within Juhu as well that were there and present. There was a Mr. Matre who was an accomplice as well who was a big school principal. And he was so envious of the devotees that outside Vilayapali station he would be giving out flyers about all the wrong things that the devotees were doing. Or at least they were fabricated things. So of course, Krishna has different ways of dealing with different individuals, whether they're Putana or some others. So one day, he was causing a lot of damage, but one day in the front pages of the newspaper in Bombay, there were headlines that Mr. Matre had been involved in illicit relationships with other school teachers. And he became a disgrace, and no one would listen to him after that. So it's interesting how different things can be dealt with. A newspaper headline is one way to deal with it. Krishna can deal with you in a variety. There was another friend as well. His name was Mr. Tambe. And Mr. Tambe, he tried to get all the life members together to take over the ISKCON property by having a vote. And he said that we are the official members of ISKCON. So you have all these challenges in life, even legal challenges in life often, that even devotees will put a legal challenge against you. So, you know, he was a member of ISKCON at that time because he was a life member, but he went against and he said, no, I'm going to put a legal suit against all of you. So, of course, the day came when the meeting was to be had and all the members would have met, and that would have been quite detrimental because it would have carried some force. And the morning that he woke up, he realized that he couldn't get out of bed. Somehow, he had become paralyzed from waist down. And hence the entire, there was no meeting because he couldn't get there. And he suffered for many, many years after that as well. So that's another way Krishna can deal with different individuals. And of course, the worst of all of them was another gentleman called Mr. Rani. And Mr. Rani was a tantric, just like Putana. And he dabbled in the black arts. And he was a friend of Mr. N. And he was there when Mr. N. had attacked the Juhu temple and they were taking the deities away and they were dragging the devotees. So at that time, this Mr. Rani, he was laughing very loudly at all the devotees being punished by the police. So one of the ladies who was being dragged away, she cursed him. And I think it was Maiti Healy. Maiti Healy, it was, yeah, she shouted and she said, "You are laughing when the deities and devotees are being attacked. The fire of your offense will burn you." So finally, anyway, the whole Juhu thing was resolved. And the devotees were having Mangalati, and just after Mangalati, there was a loud scream in the neighborhood, and a gentleman came out burning, and he died. And that was Mr. Rani. And what had happened was that he was a tantric, and he had made a doll of Prabhupada. This is how the tantrics work, Putana, like individuals, the black arts. Prabhupada mentions in the purports that many people practice these things. He had made a doll of Prabhupada and he would trying to do black magic on him. But of course, when you try with a pure devotee, it backfires and it happens on you. So, the account that's given by the others who were in the house of Mr. Rani, his servants and others, that that day he didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden he came in the kitchen and he poured kerosene all over himself. And he didn't know what he was doing anymore. And he set a match alight and that was it. He couldn't control anything anymore. He ran out onto the street. He didn't realize what had happened at all. It was all too late. So these individuals, of course, just giving some significance, just like Kamsa had employed all these different individuals. So similarly, sometimes in ISKCON as well, many individuals will come and try and attack us. In the pastime of Putana, there is a significance as well of two nakshatras, astrological calculations which are there. And the one that happens is that when Putana enters Gokul, she's coming into Gokul, that nakshatra at that time, or astrological calculation, anyone know what that one was? Ashalesha, yes. It's called Ashalesha. It's an interesting constellation which is there. And Ashalesha happens 6 days after a very famous constellation which Krishna was born in. Anyone know what that constellation was? Rohini Nakshatra. Rohini Nakshatra. Rohini Nakshatra is the most auspicious, the brightest star at the top, which is there. So that's the most auspicious. And 6 days after this is Ashalish. And Putana, she entered Gokul at the beginning or the ascending of this Ashalish constellation. And Ashalish is inauspicious constellation. And it signifies death. So when Putana, she entered Gokul, she entered at the wrong constellation. She entered when it signified it was inauspicious and the impending death that she was going to go through. So that's in the Acharya's comment on this, that when did this event happen? And they speak of the fact that this was 6 days after Krishna was born. Because Kamsa had ordered, immediately we have to do something. So it's interesting how the timing works as well. How do you know when certain things happen? So the astrological calculations, they help us to find when certain events happen in Krishna's Leela. So that's how this constellation is 6 days. And we know that it was 6 days after Krishna's birth that this took place. This pastime has many lessons for all of us. In today's verse, Nanda Maharaj is astonished. He's equally, just prior to this, in the previous verse, he's very worried. Why is he very worried? Because Vasudev had said, you must go back to Gokul because Krishna's life is in danger because of the demoniac elements. And Nanda Maharaj became very worried. He's worried that Krishna is under attack. And immediately he headed back to Vrindavan. So a lesson for us as sadhakas is that we should be worried that our Krishna consciousness is under attack. Our Krishna consciousness is under attack. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentions at the Rath Yatra festival, he says, Mora Man Vrindavan. He says that my mind is like Vrindavan. And that's true. The pure sense that our mind is like Gokul, Vrindavan, and Krishna consciousness is within it. But just like the different demons, they come to attack Krishna in Vrindavan. Similarly, for a sadhaka, I think our lesson is that massive difficulties, massive challenges, and massive demons of anathas, the demons of anathas, they'll attack us. And this is called utpatagama, challenges that a sadhaka faces from the moment you get up. We may start feeling that this Vrindavan is actually Kurukshetra, and no longer Vrindavan. And life has become like Kurukshetra. The challenges, the fights that we all face. But Prabhupada, in many places, in the Gita, in the 9th chapter, he says, anityamasukam lokam, that it's a temporary world. There is no happiness. Dukhaliyam ashashvatam. It's temporary, whatever there is here, even the happiness. Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam goes on to remind us, padam padam yat vipadam natesham, that every step we take there is danger. So Nanda Maharaj here, he's worried about the calamity that is coming. Padam padam. And was life in Vrindavan relaxed? Because we often think, when at the end it will be all relaxed. Was life in Vrindavan relaxed? No, demons were coming again and again in Vrindavan. And I believe the life of a sadhaka, the life of devotees, is never going to be relaxed. Because the demons are coming, and they keep coming into our hearts. And therefore, we can never be relaxed. Different thoughts, and the whole process is that when we are at the stage of anartha nivritti, we can never be relaxed. When we get to nishtha, firm faith, then whatever happens, we can take it. It's Krishna's will. But we're all at the stage of anartha nivritti, so we can never be relaxed. We have to take shelter, and there are various means of taking shelter of the Lord. And, you know, all of us as devotees, you know, whenever there is an employment contract, they have something called job description. There's a job description for anyone who works. Even in the temple, we have job descriptions of what you're meant to do, whatever your posts are. I think the temple president has 48 pages of a job description. So I haven't figured it out yet, but it's 48 pages. I've read through it. But really a sadhaka, a devotee, I think our job description is constantly taking shelter of Krishna. Constantly taking shelter of Krishna. That should be our job description as Vaishnavas. And how do we take shelter of Krishna? Whether it's chanting his holy names, whether it be reading of his glories, or as right now we're hearing about his glories, or whether it's practical devotional service to him, or the most important and powerful means is taking shelter of the Lord's devotees. These are all various means of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. In looking at the pastime of Putana, I was just thinking and reflecting that often our devotion is a bit like this pastime of Putana. She's feeding Krishna milk and poison, Putana. So when we like Krishna and things are going well, we want to serve Krishna and feed milk. But when things go against us, we want to feed the poison of atheism. I don't believe in Krishna. And our experiences become our philosophy. So it's an interesting thought on the pastime of Putana. So this pastime, just some more thoughts. The Shastras, they explain that when a child is born, different ghosts, they attack the child every day. And when the child is 1 month, there's a Yatudani called Putana who attacks the child. And the symptoms are given of what happens when the child is being attacked. And the remedy is also given of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. There's an interesting correlation which is given by Kavi Karnapo. And he speaks about the fact that when Putana came, the Vrajavasis, they thought that the goddess of fortune had come and they all became very attracted to her. And Kavi Karnapu said that all the different Vrajavasis, they started looking at Putana and they were saying, and they were looking up in the sky and they were saying, hey Urvasi, these are the different damsels in the heavenly planets, they were saying, hey Urvasi, compared to Putana, you are like a beggar woman. Kavi Kanapu says that, hey, and then another Brajavasi, he says, hey, Alambar, this is another heavenly damsel. Compared to Putna, you're like a bamboo. And then another Brajavasi, he says, hey, Tilotama. And Tilotama, of course, is her body is made of pearls. She had a benediction. Her entire body made of pearls. So this Brijbasi says, hey, Tilotma, compared to Putna, your glitter is gone. So Kavi Karnapu, he says that the Brijbasis were even speaking like this. And then he goes on to say that they allowed Putana to come in. So this is all the metaphorical aspects. And he says that the Brijbasis allowing Putana to come in is that we have tendencies to accept wrong people as right people. When we hear wrong philosophy, we think this will nourish us. Of course, this is all Yogamaya as well. We shouldn't forget that as well. This whole pastime is Yogamaya as well. It's controlling the entire pastime. But Kavi Karnapu is reminding us, of course, this is the principle. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the same thing, that Putana represents the false guru. The false guru. So that's given as well. The tendency to accept wrong people as right people. It's also interesting that Putana, although she was a demoness, she would only kill children who were born. She wouldn't kill children that were in the womb. It's interesting. So that's an interesting correlation to today, where the child is killed in the womb. But Putana would not go that far. She would only kill the child after they were born. What do they have? They call them MDP, medical termination pregnancy. So, of course, Prabhupada calls this the demoniac civilization, that the child, Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki. Prabhupada speaks about the demoniac civilization where the child is not even allowed to have one breath, not allowed to see the day of light. And if you look at the history of the Second World War, this became more prominent after that. Abortions. And it began with the Nazi regime, where they had interesting propaganda, because the whole way of dealing with different things was through propaganda and the use of terminology. And there were two individuals that Hitler had with him who were individuals that were part of his propaganda machine to use the right terminology. Anyone remember those? History? Goebbels? And Dorfman. Dorfman was his propaganda man with German. And they came out with different terminologies. And one of the terminologies they came out with for abortions was tissue removal. Tissue removal. So it was interesting that all of this sort of, it makes individuals think that there's nothing wrong, there's no life. It's just removing some tissue. Officially, I think, in the world, I think they have different figures because not everything is official. In the Soviet Republic, before the Berlin Wall was taken down, in a survey that they did, they estimated that the average individual, because of such an atheistic nature, had anything up to 6 abortions in their life. And those are unofficial figures. They're not in any statistic reports. But they have in the region of, they have figures of 60 million every year, going up to anything up to 200 million. Some more information there. But can you imagine, even if it's 60 million, you know, the population of this country is only 64. And every year, imagine the 60 million abortions. So Putna, although she was demoniac, but she wouldn't kill any child in the womb. That was interesting correlation which is given there. How is it that Putna was able to come to Gokul? Because, different mantras were chanted for the protection of Krishna at his birth ceremony. So one ability that Putna had, which was very interesting, and why she was able to come into Gokul was given, is that she, and her name signifies that, Putana. One meaning of Putana is that her ability to take the purificatory credits away. So the variety of ceremonies that are done, she was able to take that credit away. And because she was able to take that credit away, she could enter into Gokul at that time. Because whatever credits there were there, of course this is still Yogamaya and so on, but the Acharya speak of this, that as a witch, she had this ability to take away the credits and attack individuals, even though they had protection. And Prabhupada, in explaining in his purports, he speaks about the fact that even today in Northwest India, he says, there are still mystical witches who can sit on a stick and they use it to fly from one place to another in a very short time. So, it's not just in the movies that we think it's going on. Prabhupada is saying, no, they can fly on a stick. They can fly on and in very short time, covering different places. What is that famous children's book? No, not Harry Potter. Children's book, nursery book, where there's the witch. What's that book called? Not that one. There's a, the witch flies off and there's a cat at the back and I remember reading to my son, and that's why I'm remembering that book, because... which is which, yes. I can't remember the name of the book, but it's many books like that, but it was a famous book, and it was interesting, because my son said, are there really witches? And I said, Prabhupada says there are, yes, so... it's interesting that all of these notions exist in society, but Prabhupada is putting a good point on it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I mentioned, he speaks about the representatives of Putna, what they represent, and he says they're the fake gurus. Fake gurus. You can make your comments after the class. Thank you. Fake gurus are many. We see them in many, many places. Whether they're performing miracles or what are they doing. But the interesting part of that is that, so just like there was a fake mother, Putna, So there is the real mother, Yashoda. And that's the important part for us also to remember. Because we might just be thinking of the fake gurus, but actually there is also the real guru. And you know, in India you have all of these different films which come out, OMG, oh my God, it's called. It's all about fake, how, you know, so many fake spiritual people are there. Chaitanya Charan, in his books and reception, you'll see he makes a commentary on OMG in another book called PK. Must be a movie called PK. And he's commenting on that as well. And the problem with all of these things is that they just make out that this is the general scenario, that everyone is fake, that everyone is false. And you know, so to find the genuine guru is also something that we have to speak about and make sure that people understand that principle as well. And in Bombay, there was a gentleman called Aniruddha Bapu. He was a professor in a university in Bombay. And every year he would have Rath Yatra. But he was Jagannath in that Rath Yatra. And his brother was Baladev. And his wife was Subhadra. So I think he got that bit wrong. Wife is Subhadra. But and then all the followers, you're talking about in the Rath Yatra, 10,000 people come and they put Tulsi at his feet and they put them in the chariots and they drag them. Because they consider that he's God. Aniruddha Bapu. So these are the fake gurus that come in our lives, that exist. In this pastime, we have the example that the Brijavasis or others were bewildered by a woman, or Putna. And equally here, we're speaking about false spirituality, fake gurus. So in Chaitanya Leela, you have both of these things as well. You have, and it's interesting because you had Kala Krishna Das. And Kala Krishna Das, when he was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was, although he was with God himself, he was distracted by the Bhattaharis. The women of the Bhattaharis, they eluded him. And they distracted him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to personally go and rescue him. So we may be in Gokul, as this pastime is speaking, or we may be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still, you can be covered. And then Kala Krishna Das, he was a servant when finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to Vrindavan, and when all the different pilgrims were all at Keshighat, they said, look, there is Krishna. He's dancing on Kaliya. And Kala Krishna Das saw this and he ran back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Krishna is dancing on the Kaliya at Keshighat. Come and have a look. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my whole mission is spoilt now, that he doesn't understand. I'm Krishna. How can he be dancing there? So, false gurus. So, of course, it was a lamp, a lantern on a boat with a fisherman, and they thought that this was Kaliya. Both of these things are there in Chaitanya Leela as well. And how is it that if you're with the Lord, you don't recognize him? Of course, it's Yogamaya, which is the whole Krishna Leela is about Yogamaya. But there's an interesting correlation in the Ramayana which is given as well. That when Sugriva noticed that two princes were coming to Rishamukya Mountains, he told Hanuman, he said, go and meet these two individuals because I think they may be my enemies. Bali may have sent them to kill me. So Hanuman, he disguised himself as a Brahmin. And he came before Ram and Lakshman, and he asked them who they were. And then, of course, Ram and Lakshman, they revealed their identities. And then Hanuman said, how is it that I did not recognize you, although you are my eternal Lord? So Lord Ram, he says that when you cover yourself, I also cover myself. because Hanuman had covered himself as a Brahmin. So he said, when you cover yourself, I also cover myself. So we're covered. So we don't recognize often when we meet great Vaishnavas and others. Prabhupada, in his purports here, speaks about that there were two perplexities in this Leela. And one was from Krishna, and one was from Putana. And that's interesting. Putana's perplexity was that she realized that I've come to kill my Antaka. Antaka means my killer, the person who put an end to my life. And he is unlimited, and I am limited. So how will I kill him? That was a perplexity. Prabhupada speaks of that. And Krishna's perplexity was that he was thinking that she's a demon and she's come to kill me and she's going to give me poison, but she's come to give me something at least, even if it's poison. She's giving me something. So what will I do now? Because whoever offers me something, I'll have to accept it. So, of course, what does he do in this perplexity? He closes his eyes when she wants to feed him milk. And the acharyas, they give four reasons why Krishna, he closes his eyes. The first one was that he didn't want to see the face of Putana because she had killed so many children. The second reason is given that he wanted to give Putana assurance that, come on, come, you can kill me. I'm here. Other acharyas, they comment that he wanted to close his eyes because he didn't want to kill a woman. But you know, the first demon that Krishna had killed here was a woman. And Krishna was thinking at that time that even when I came as Lord Ram, I had the same perplexity. The Tataka was a demoness. First demon that Lord Ram kills is also a woman. Interesting correlation. And what did he do in both occasions? He closed his eyes. When he killed Tataka, he closed his eyes. And when he killed Putana, he closed his eyes. And others, they comment that he closed his eyes because he recognized that Putana was his nurse. She'd come to offer him milk, and he was comfortable, and he closed his eyes. And of course, what is this all about? In the acharyas, they speak of this pastime. This is connected to the Bali Maharaj pastime, as you know. And two accounts are given. The Vaivarta, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, they speak about Putana being Ratnamala, and the Garga Samhita also says she was Ratnamala, and one says she was the sister, but actually it was the daughter. She was the daughter of Bali Maharaj who came. And of course, that's there, that she wanted to feed him when she first saw him, but when she realized that Bali Maharaj had become disgraced, she said, now I want to kill you. So Krishna at that time, he was thinking that whatever desire you have, I will fulfill, Bali Maharaj, and even your daughter. So he was thinking, your daughter wants to feed me. So great, I will fulfill it. But now she wants to kill me. So how do I now fulfill both of those desires? So of course he has the pastime of Putana to fulfill both of those desires, and she can come in that pastime. The Lalita Madhava, there's an interesting description of how, what happens when Putana leaves this world, when Krishna kills her. And it's described that she manifested a spiritual body and entered a chariot of precious jewels. A chariot beautiful with 100 wheels, with 100,000s of chamras, with effulgent associates of the Lord. And they took her to the realm of Goloka. And gazing at this wonder, all the gopas who saw this, and the gopis, they became filled with wonder. They said, wow, imagine that. She's going back to Goloka. And, you know, Kamsa, he got an account of this as well. And when he heard about this, he was amazed as well. He said, oh, wow, this is amazing. So this is Lalita Madhava, of course. It's giving that pastime in that way. Anticipation for Radhastami tomorrow, I'll end the class on a note which connects Putana with Radharani as well. When Kamsa was killing the eighth child, of course, and the eighth child was Durga. And when he tried to kill her, of course, she escaped Yogamaya. And she said, Kamsa, the eighth child who is going to kill you has already appeared. And not only has he appeared, but along with him, many powerful shaktas, shaktis, they've also appeared. And primarily eight shaktis, they have appeared as well. So Kamsa, when he realized that he wanted to kill Krishna, he told Putana, you kill all the firstborn male child. But he said, those that you find who are girls, you said, you bring them back to me. Because they are very powerful and I want to get the power from them. Because he realized that these great individuals were born, he wanted their powers. So that's from when Krishna was born. So then we go back to another pastime, that the Himalayan range is, of course, a personality as well. And his daughter is Parvati. And when he married her to Lord Shiva, there was a great ceremony. There's another mountain range as well called the Vindhya Mountains. So when the Vindhya Mountains, he saw this amazing ceremony, he said, how is it that he has the Himalayas? He became jealous of the Himalayas. He has this beautiful daughter. And now he has a son-in-law as Lord Shiva. So he said, I want a benediction, that I want to have a daughter that will marry someone. And that someone will then defeat Lord Shiva. So then he started to perform, Vindhya Mountains, performing great austerities. So he received a benediction that this will happen. So it's described in a variety of places. But Rupa Goswami specifically, in his works, he describes about this austerity. And he speaks of the fact that in his dramas as well, in Rupa Goswami, he speaks about the fact that how Yogamaya, it removed from the womb of Kirtida a child and placed it in the wife of the Vindhya Mountains. And also, he mentions that Yogamaya also removed from Chandrabanu's wife a child and placed it in the womb of the Vindhya Mountains. So these two children were mentioned by Yogamaya at the beginning to Kamsa, that eight powerful shaktis will take place. So these were the two, and they were placed, they were known as Radharani and Chandravali. So this is one account of how Radharani appeared. There are many. So this is one account that's given. And that's why Radharani has a name beginning with Vindhya as well. So, of course, both these child were taken. And they were, when they were born and Vindhya Mountain had these two girls, Putana appeared. That's our connection today in the class. Putana appeared. And when Putana arrived and she saw these two beautiful girls, she immediately captured them both. And the Vindhya Mountain immediately ordered the Brahmin who was present, who was doing a ceremony for these two girls, he said, immediately chant mantras to kill this witch. But because she was so powerful, when he started chanting, she became weak only. Because she had this benediction, which we spoke about at the beginning, that she could take away the merits of any protection that you had. But she became weak. And when she became weak, she dropped the first child. And the first child landed in the Jamuna, where King Brishabhanu and Kirtida were performing austerities to have the goddess of fortune as their child. And she carried on flying, Putana, and the Vindhya mountain said, immediately, look, we can still get one child back. So he chanted more mantras, and she became weaker, and she dropped the second child, and that was Chandravali. And that was, she was born in a village further down. So these are some thoughts for all of us just before Radhastami tomorrow. All of us can pray that may Srimati Radharani bless us, empower us, that the putanas of this world will not distract us in whichever form they come. Anarthas within the heart, challenges which we face every morning, the difficulties we face personally as sadhakas to hear, to chant. May Radharani, who is the goddess of fortune, who can benedict us with anything, may she take away all of these challenges and make our lives a little easier to obtain the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Gokulananda. Srila Prabhupada ki.